Isn't God good? Faithful and wonderful. Well, this morning, I am excited to be able to continue on in our series on the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about faithfulness this morning, and so it's an easy one. I think we all know that God's pretty faithful, amen? And he's faithful in us, and he's faithful through us, and he is faithful to complete a good work that he's begun, amen? So let's read this together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Don't forget the last verse there. You know, we have to crucify ourselves and our desires in order to follow the Lord. And for him to be able to produce that fruit in us, we need to be fully surrendered to him, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so it's so important that we have that relationship with him, that we continue to every day say, God, I choose you more than anything else in this world. And I choose to honor you and serve you and live for you and whatever that looks like. And so help me, God, to follow you and help me to be a surrendered vessel before you. Amen? Let me ask you this question. If you could choose one word to represent your character or your life, what would it be? If you could choose one word. I remember somewhere way back when I was in some exercise in small groups that they actually challenged everybody. Come up with a word to describe yourself. And I, you know, if I had my way, my prayer would be that when people think of me, that they would think of a loving person in some, lived out in some form of faithfulness. You know, that would be my heart. I pray that one day I will hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's my prayer over my life. And I pray that, you know, when my name comes up in conversation, that people would say, it's a faithful guy, that he loves well. The Theological Dictionary says that faithfulness is a relational trust that encompasses loyalty and fidelity, particularly in the context of God's covenant with his people. Also, it says that faithfulness is the character of one who can be relied or depended upon. Are you dependable? Are you reliable? That's faithfulness. And then again, that's the fruit of what the Holy Spirit produces in us as we surrender to him, is a faithfulness in knowing God, in following him, in living for him, and also in serving others. When I read one of the commentaries, this is the word that's used here, it suggests a focus on the relational aspect of faithfulness, particularly in the context of a believer's relationship with God. So what is being produced is a faithfulness in walking with God, a faithfulness in our journey with him, not just a Sunday morning Christian, but someone who day in and day out is walking with the Lord, knowing him personally, being a friend of God. Amen? When I think of dependable or reliable or faithful, one of the things that pops in my mind is our old Suburban. I wish we still had it. But we had an old beast. It was ugly and old when we bought it, and it lasted for years, and we drove it thousands and thousands of kilometers, and all we ever had to do that thing was replace the general maintenance stuff like tires and a battery and headlight, stuff like that, but it just went. And it had big, comfortable seats. It fit everything, and you could fit an extra family if you wanted. Like, it was big. And it was wonderful. And that thing, you just got in and fired it up, and it went. And you could drive through mud, snow, it didn't matter. It didn't have all the sensors that screamed at you if there was a drop of water on the windshield or any of that kind of stuff these days. But I love that thing. And maybe you have things that you can think of that just work every time. You know, you're just like, that's my old faithful, dependable, whatever. So sometimes we think of that. Sometimes we think of people in our life when you think of the word faithfulness. Who are the people in your life that are you just look at and go, they're faithful, they're reliable, they're dependable, right? And I could look around this room and I could start to point out people and just the ways that you've been faithful in honoring others and serving others in, you know, doing many things behind the scenes even to make this church survive and thrive. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for many of your faithfulness. I was talking to somebody, I think it was this last week, about Emil Siegel. Many of you, you know, might not know him, but him and his wife Millie were founding members or one of the original couples that helped plant this church way years ago. And they moved to Medicine Hat a number of years ago, and Emil has since passed on and to the Lord. But when this is one of those people that Jill and I have said, when we grow up, we want to be like them. You know, every Sunday, they were here faithfully every Sunday, and there was a big smile on his face. It was one of the things I actually looked forward to, showing up and getting to shake his hand, because he made you feel like he loved you more than anybody else every single week. Just one of those people that you could, he just knew that he was a gracious, gentle, wonderful person that didn't judge, just loved. And I'm just so thankful for people like that in my life. I remember him and his wife, Millie, would pray for us, for the pastors every week, and they'd let us know, we're praying for you. And it meant so much to have someone that was like in your corner and knew faithfully that they were praying over you and standing for you. And so there are people in our life probably that are examples, if you look around, of faithfulness. And if there's not, I pray you'll find some people that can walk with you in faithfulness and that can be reliable, that can be dependable, that can be there for you. I'm so thankful for, you know, when I think of the faithfulness that God has shown himself in my life, the way that he's been faithful to show me his love and mercy and grace, and with the way he's, in many ways, many times, healed me miraculously, and others, as we've prayed for them, and where I've seen him provide in miraculous ways and protect in crazy ways at times. And so I'm just so thankful for his faithfulness in my life. I'm grateful for that. And I hope you are too, that God is faithful to me and he's faithful to you. He's faithful to each one of us. He's with you. He's for you. And he won't stop doing that. I found it interesting. I was reading some commentaries this week, and it says that in faithfulness is linked to the steadfast love of the Lord when the subject is God in the Bible. Very often you'll see faithfulness and the steadfast love of God together. And when it comes to referring to people in Scripture, when it talks about faithfulness, there's other terms that are used to describe relating to God. Things like righteousness, uprightness, sincerity, and with all of our heart. Those types of things are in different Scriptures describing what faithfulness is in relation with us and God. But when it describes God, it's his steadfast love. God will not stop loving you. I don't know who needs to hear that today, but God loves you and he won't stop loving you. And even when we try hard to do things the wrong way, we get ourselves in the biggest mess possible, he doesn't stop loving you. And I'm thankful for that, because if not, I'd be in trouble and so would you. But what we do see in Scripture is that human loyalty to God is plainly not a gracious act. It's not something it's nice of us to be loyal to him, but it's actually something that is dutiful as a Christian. As a follower of Christ, we are called to be loyal to him, to serve him, to be faithful in return, because he's given everything for you and I, and we need to give everything back. The Bible says that God desires obedience rather than sacrifice. God has been faithful to us in his expression of his love to us, and again, he calls us to follow him, to give everything, to walk with him, to know him. Amen? Such faithfulness brings a reward, it says in Scripture. I think I put 1 Samuel 26 up there. The Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and faithfulness. The Lord delivered you into my hands today, but I would not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. And there's different pictures like this given in Scripture where when we are faithful with God, it actually impacts our life. It's not just like a good idea, but it is something that we're called to do, because it opens the door for God to promote us spiritually. And I think naturally too, it sets us up in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm to be promoted, to grow, and to have more responsibility over other things. And so it matters. There's things in Scriptures that say things like the faithful are preserved. In Ezra's great confession, he recites God's call to Abraham. And he says Abraham's response of faithfulness, the promise of land and its fulfillment. You can read about that in Nehemiah. Faithfulness brings the fulfillment of God's promises. David asked for vindication on the grounds that he had walked in faithfulness to God. That's in Psalm 26. And Hezekiah protests God's decision with the claim that he had walked before him in faithfulness and with a whole heart and done what is good in God's sight. That's in Isaiah 38. And so there's different Scriptures like that that give us pictures of, it actually gives us an invitation to appeal to God when we've lived for him. When we've been faithful, it's like, God, I need you. You're a faithful God, and I trust in you, and I believe in you, and I'm right here. And it's like people stood on that promise of his faithfulness, based on their faithfulness in following him. It's interesting. Are you with me? Psalm 89, I'm going to read you a few scriptures here. I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. Your unfailing love will last forever. Your faithfulness is as enduring as the heavens. The Lord said, I have made a covenant with David, my chosen servant. I have sworn this oath to him. Many times when you read about God's faithfulness, it's in regards to the covenant that he's made with us. The promises, the things that he has said, I will do this for you. You know what's beautiful about God is if he says it, he'll do it. And that's why he created a new covenant with us through Christ, is because the old people in the old covenant, they were not faithful. They didn't follow through. And now it's not based on our behavior, but it's based on what Christ did for us and in us. Amen? And so that's amazing. Like, that is good news, because it doesn't depend on you and I getting it right all the time. Somebody should get pretty excited about that, because that means we got a chance. Psalm 119 says, your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth you created. Your regulations remain true to this day, for everything serves your plans. Psalm 36:5 says, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Proverbs 3 says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Powerful. 2 Timothy 2:18, sorry guys, this one's out of order there, but it says that when we are unfaithful, God is still faithful. And that is a beautiful promise. When we're unfaithful, God is still faithful. And why? Because he cannot disown himself. He cannot go against who he is. It's impossible for God to be unfaithful. We stumble, we fall, we get caught up in messes, but it's impossible for him not to follow through in his promise for you. That's where we could sing one of those old hymns, you know. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, declare it. I'm scared of singing in this mic because it might blast everybody online. But there's something beautiful about even declaring the faithfulness and the goodness of God in our life. To remind ourselves that he's always with us. Because many times we get in a stressful situation, we get in a mess, and we start thinking about God or ourselves. We also start thinking about ourselves. What am I going to do? What do I do next? What's going to happen? And we start to stress and fear. But when we can remind ourselves that he's faithful, that he's with me, that all his promises are yes and amen, it starts to take the pressure off. Because I can remind myself that, oh yeah, I know this guy. He's got the answer. And he loves me, and he's for me. I don't have to worry. What does that say in Romans 8? God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's good news. That means that God will cause things to work together for good for you. Even though it might not look like it right now, he's working on your behalf for good. You can take that one to the bank. Psh, done. He'll do it. Joshua 24. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's like Joshua laid down and said, like, let's go. We're all in. And if you're not in, go serve who you want to serve. Pick today, but I'm after God. I'm going after him. Because he's faithful, and I want to serve him with faithfulness. And again, that's the call to you and I, is to walk in a faithful walk with him, growing in our relationship with God, getting to know him every day. And why? Because he's beautiful, because he's wonderful, because his love is unfailing for us, and because his life in us will completely transform us. I think, you know, when I think of the word faithful, I think many of us have learned what faithfulness is based on the unfaithfulness we've seen in our culture. You know, many have heard the different stories of people around us in our lives where spouses have been unfaithful, where politicians have said one thing and done another, or when an athlete cheats on in some way or leaves their team and lets them down because they chase a bigger contract somewhere else. There's many examples of unfaithfulness all around us. And so many times we recognize what faithfulness is based on what we see the opposite going on in our world. In the New Testament, the word faithful is pistos, And it literally means unwavering reliability, consistency, and devotion. It's basically a seal of guarantee that there's never room for doubt. It's secure and unshaken by anything. There's a tree in southern Africa called the shepherd's tree. They say the roots in that shepherd's tree go down about 230 feet into the ground. So it's not getting knocked around even by our winds that we get here. You know, like the other day, I'm imagining up in the hills, so a lot of trees got knocked over by that. But you see all the signs. I don't know if you drove anywhere, but there's a bunch of signs. You know, that wind will move things. Things will shake and fall. But when we're rooted in Him, it's unshakable. To know that He's faithful through it all is something that we need to understand. He's with us. Whatever journey we walk through, whatever trial we face, whatever struggle we have, God will not leave you. Amen? And so it's a guarantee. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews that that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's holy. He'll never stop being holy. He's pure. He's strong. He's your protector. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. Again, His promises are always yes and amen. His character will never change. And when He says He'll do it, He'll do it. When He says that He takes your sin and He throws it as far as the east is from the west and it's forgotten and gone and covered in the blood of Christ, it is. You don't have to carry guilt or condemnation or shame. He's always with us. He is constant. He is true. And because of that, we can trust Him and we can put our hope in Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He'll hold you. He'll keep you firm to the end. God wants us to hold on to the promises, to the hope that we have in Him. And He is holding on to us. He's not going anywhere. You might have had the worst week of your life. God's not going anywhere. His promises for you are not changing because of the week you've had, because of how you feel about yourself, because there is no condemnation because you are held close to Him. You'll be held blameless. Why? Because of Jesus. Not anything you do or deserve or earn. But it's His faithfulness that says it's done. He literally extends His grace to every person from every background, from every culture, from every area of life. Doesn't matter. We are all invited to come into the grace of God. We're all invited to come and receive His salvation. It's a free gift to every single person. You can't disqualify yourself from Him. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to live in worry. I don't have to have anxiety when the more I understand, God is for me. He's with me. And when I don't know what to do with my kids, He does. And if I will lean into Him and pray and press in, He'll give me insight in what to do. I don't have to figure it out and mess it up and trust in Him. When I don't know what to do with people at work or whatever situation you might be in, lean on Him. He's with you. Even in that moment, say, Lord, what's Your peace? What do I say? How do I love? How do I behave? How do I see victory in this moment? And even in your greatest mess, He's there. God is faithfully working in us as we allow Him. As we surrender, He is sanctifying us. He's changing us. As we submit, we are becoming more like Jesus. And so He produces faithfulness in us to endure, to persevere. We are invited into friendship and union with Him. He gives us His name. We're sealed by His Spirit. And He will complete the good work that He began in us. We can rest in the truth of His unwavering and constant presence and promises. We can thank Him for His faithfulness to us. We can pray every day for the fruit of unwavering devotion and consistency so that we can accomplish all that He's called us to do. The enemy is going to try and trip you up and ensnare you and bring fear. And what we need to do is learn to walk faithfully with him every single day. Trust him with everything. I read somewhere that the Hebrew word for faithfulness, one of the definitions is to hold on. Hold on to him. Hold on to his promises. Hold on to your faith. Don't give up. Matthew 6:22 says, the eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. I read somewhere, there's some studies in psychology that have shown that intentionally looking at someone's face and making eye contact increases feelings of love and affection for someone. It ignites and deepens relationships and feelings of gratitude and enjoyment. If you want to have an interesting date next time, just pause and say, I would like to give you 5 minutes of uninterrupted eye contact. But really, if we actually want to learn to remain faithful, we need to look in the eyes of Jesus. And we need to be looking into him and looking on him and what he says to us and what he's doing. Because he will become our treasure as we gaze on him and his beauty and his goodness. John 15:8 said, to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. God has ordained us to be agents of transformation and change in this culture. The only way that's going to happen is if we really understand his faithfulness and allow it to be produced in us. That we can be people that are reliable, that are dependable, that are faithful. Amen? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Faithfulness matters. He's been faithful to us. Are we faithful in everything in our life? And faithfulness doesn't just matter in all the big things, like keeping my marriage vows, but it's the little things too. There's several examples. I'm not going to go into them today just for the sake of time, but there's the parables of the talents and different examples where we see that we are responsible to use what we have faithfully. And you might say, well, I don't have much. That's okay. Be faithful with the little bit you have. It's better to actually use the seed or the talent or the whatever that God has entrusted you with and be faithful with it than have a whole bunch of seed that you have shoved on a shelf somewhere. It's not about bragging about the gifts or the ability or the amount you have. It's about what are you using? Faithfully honor God and follow him. I don't think that there's a test that you can take to ensure that someone will be faithful or trustworthy in your life or loyal. But the Holy Spirit produces integrity in us as we surrender to him. And a person who follows the Holy Spirit isn't going to cheat, isn't going to lie, isn't going to blaspheme or hurt other people intentionally because they carry the love of the Lord. And so there's things that you can see in people as to whether they're faithful, whether they're following God, because that fruit is produced in us. That Greek word pistos, which means faithfulness, can also be translated faith. And again, faith is the assurance of something. It's trusting in something that has been stated as true. There's many areas in your life and mine that we use faith all the time without even really thinking about it, right? We get in and we drive a vehicle and we expect that when I hit the brakes, it's going to work. Going to stop. A lot less of us would drive if we weren't too sure if our brakes were going to work every day, right? We have faith in the fact that when somebody built this building, that they knew what they were doing with how much support and everything that this floor needs. We don't have to worry every time we walk in here. Are we going to end up in the basement? You know, we don't have a stress like that. There's many things that it's just simple faith that I'm safe to go into that building. I'm safe to go on the elevator because somebody calculated how many of us can go on the elevator. I'm safe to drive across that bridge. Has somebody figured out it can hold all those cars that are going across? We see when that doesn't work, don't we? But there's faith engaged in us all the time. I trust in things, and things need to be stress tests, don't they? So that we know where that limit is. And I think that we don't like it, but we have to recognize that in us, our character needs tested. We need sometimes that stress test in a sense, because the challenges that we face produce character. God has proven himself faithful to us in every way, and that's the quality of faith and the assurance, the sense of reliability that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in you and I. That we're faithful, that we're reliable, that we're stable. You know, it's that kind of person and that kind of character that allows us to be faithful to others around us, and people say, I can be with that person. There's something different in them. They're not running away by fear. They're not scared every time something happens. They're not rattled in their life because they have a hope in a faithful God. And then I can trust that even when it comes to working with people or whatever, I know that when something hard happens, they're not just going to act out of fear. They're not going to respond in an unhealthy way because they trust in a faithful God. And so faithful lives produce fruitful lives. Luke 16, 10 and 11, Jesus is talking. He says, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Again, we need to be faithful with what we have, even if it's very small. In 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, so look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. Paul's talking about sharing the gospel. You and I are called to be faithful in sharing the gospel too. Amen? And so we need to be faithful in the little things, the big things, to be people that are reliable, dependable. And again, many times I hear people say, it's a small thing, it doesn't really matter. But it does, because God is watching. I don't know if you've ever realized this too, in your workplace, that an employer is going to be way more comfortable promoting you and giving you greater responsibility when they see you being faithful in the little things, doing the little things right, shutting off a light, cleaning up, whatever, those small things that matter, people see that. God sees that. The way that you live your life and conduct yourself, whether someone's looking or not, God sees it. Do you break promises that you give to your wife or your kids? Many people will keep a commitment to work before they'll keep a commitment to their family. Are you late to everything? God's never late. I'm picking on some people, I know. Myself too. God's always on time. Do you let your bills become overdue? It doesn't display the faithfulness of God when we don't pay what we owe. It doesn't look good. Do you tell the truth in conversation? Or are you known as somebody that exaggerates everything and tells a lie when it suits them? Yeah, that's allowed. Fishing stories, yeah, it's okay. Same with hunting, right? This big. In Psalm 37:21, it says, the wicked borrow and don't repay. Again, if you don't repay, it's an area of your life that isn't reflecting God. In that scripture in Luke that I read, it's talking about finances there. Jesus challenges people. And I think that money often is like an acid test, if you want to call it that, or, you know, of where our heart's at. Are we faithful with even the small things? Do you honor God with your finances? Do you honor him? You know, it's a big part of our life. We work to have these finances. Will we honor him with those things? Because truly God has given us everything anyway. It actually belongs to him. And I've heard people say, again, with tithing, things like tithing, it's like, well, if I made more money, I would tithe. But it's the same principle. If you won't tithe when you make $1,000 a month, it feels way harder to tithe when you make $10,000 a month, right? The fact is, it's nothing to do with the amount. It's to do with our trust and belief that God is able to help us no matter how big the situation. So if I really believe that he can help me in everything and then provide for any need that I have, it doesn't matter. I just give what he asked me to give. Got really quiet. I'm not trying to beat up on us, but I want us to recognize, are we faithful in the little things? Because if we can't trust him with that, what will we trust him with? What does that say? So start small if you're struggling in these areas. Start with one thing at a time. First step. What is God asking you to do? I'm preaching to the choir, but get to church. That's one. But getting to church doesn't save you, but it helps. We need each other. Give. Give of yourself, your time, your energy, your resources. God calls us to tithe. I don't even look at tithing as generosity. I'll just be honest. That's actually an act of obedience in my mind. But when I give to missions and all those things over and above my tithe to him, then I'm stepping into generosity. When I see someone in need and I can help them out, that's an act of generosity. I don't see tithing as that. I see that as actually an act of obedience, giving back to the Lord. And you cannot give God. That's very true. And I do believe that God wants to promote us and give us more responsibility, again, to reach the world. And he wants us to be faithful in the small things so that he can entrust us with bigger things to help make a bigger impact for his kingdom wherever we go. It's not about I'll give so that I get, or I give so that I get everybody knows me. It's I want to give. I want to be faithful in everything so that I can be trusted to help bless other people and encourage them and be put in positions where I can make an impact for his kingdom. He wants to do that in you. And if we are such a mess because we don't trust God, if we are such a mess because we haven't allowed him to heal us, how can we actually be used? How can we get in that place where we can walk with him and hear him? You follow? And so it starts by saying, God, I need you. I surrender. I submit to you. I give you everything. God, help me to start being faithful today. And you guys, you know, the beauty is that God is faithful to forgive and let us start over. So even if you've blown it 300 times, it's okay. Today's a new day. His mercy is new every morning. His grace is enough for you. All right, I want to read one last chunk of scripture and then we'll wrap it up here. Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Listen to this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I'm just going to stop there. But we are called to hold on to the hope that we have unswervingly, because for he who promised is faithful. And if you remember that first chunk we just read, it said that we can enter into the Holy of Holies. We can come boldly before God just as we are because of what Jesus has done. Not any of us deserve it or can earn it, but you guys, we are invited to come into his presence, to know him personally, because he who's made a way is faithful. Jesus has made a way for you and I to be able to come. It says, let us consider, that's verse 24, let us consider. That word, it appears 14 times in the New Testament, and it means to notice, consider, pay attention, to look closely at. Believers are to rivet their attention on the need for conscious activities of encouragement amongst those who are in Christian community. You and I have been given this life so that we can encourage others, so that we, you know, I just want to remind you, you're not saved because of good works, you're saved for good works. You and I are called to be a part of the body, not giving up on one another, but to never forsake or give up on gathering together to honor God, to glorify him, to encourage each other, so that again, our responsibility is to go and reach the world. And if we lose sight of that, we're missing it. And that's where all kinds of messed up teaching comes, because it's about what can I get for me? And how can I feel good today? Easter's coming. Not that far away. And I want to be careful to remind all of us that we don't just give a Good Friday only gospel and tell people, you know, this is what you're saved from and this is what you're not allowed to do as a Christian. That's not the full gospel. Let me ask you this. What are you saved for? The goal isn't to brag to others or to God when you face them one day that, look what I didn't do. Look how well I behaved. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, and I don't go with girls who do. That's not what we're going to brag about. But you and I are saved to represent Jesus, to make disciples, to produce fruit by faithfully and dependably following Jesus, saying yes to him, building relationship with him, putting him before everything else in your life. Your spiritual walk is more important than sports or entertainment or chasing the American dream or whatever other thing that is in your heart that's stealing your affection. None of these things are bad on their own, are they? It's not bad to love playing hockey or love taking your kids into sports or what, like love doing well in business or any of those things. Nothing wrong with any of it. There's nothing wrong with entertainment. There's nothing wrong with enjoying watching sports or movies or whatever. Like, what matters is, where's your affection? And if those things get in the way of your affection and your relationship with God, then they have to stop. Because the alignment has to come that God is first and everything else comes after. And that is really easy to say, okay? But when we live in a world and a family that is busy and into sports and into things and you're chasing them and they're going this way and that way, it is a fight, it is a battle to keep God first. And when we have struggles in our life, there's things that are out of alignment, it's very easy to want to just numb ourselves and watch TV than to actually face things and allow God to transform us. So there's a battle there to stay sharp, to stay pressing into God. It's way easier to just turn on Netflix and let it play for 3 hours. Nobody's ever done that. Let me just ask you this morning, what is driving you? Where's the affection in your heart? What are you longing for? Sometimes we have to say no to some really good things in order to keep things in alignment in our life. Because it's more important to have a friendship with God than a friendship with this world. And I'll just be honest with you guys, we need more than forgiveness. We need the new life that Jesus came to give us. And that's why it's so dangerous when we just tell people, you just need to pray this prayer, everything's good. No, that's not all of it. We need to understand and remind ourselves and remind others that there is a purpose of Christianity. There is a purpose for what God came and intended for us. And that is that, yes, we are forgiven of our sin. This is the gospel in 2 minutes, you guys. Jesus came and gave his life because we were hopeless without him. Because of our sin, we are destined for doom. We're destined for death and destruction. But Jesus came at the right time to give his life for us so that we could be saved. His mission was reconciliation, all right? The challenge of Christ for every single one of us was not just to pray a prayer, but was to follow him. Follow him. Every day, Jesus, I choose to follow you. Not, I prayed a prayer 10 years ago, I got fire insurance, I'm good. That's not his heart. His heart is that every day I pick up the cross. And that's hard, okay? There's nothing easy about this picture, but it's to nail my passions and desires to the cross and say, Jesus, I follow you. Then we are saved from a life of sin and saved for a life of impact. The Bible says that we become a new creation, that we become the righteousness of God. We become heirs. We become adopted as his children. And it's a process of the Holy Spirit changing us from the inside out. A lifelong journey that doesn't end. We can become more like God today than we were yesterday. And we might think we had a great day today. Well, God is leading us tomorrow, again, to come a little closer. And the beauty, you guys, is that God is so faithful that he helps us. And he gives us everything we need. He gives us the scripture. He gives us church. He gives us others around us that can help us, sharpen us, and challenge us, and encourage us to come. He's faithful in that way. He doesn't leave you. Do it on your own. And then in all that, again, the life of impact that we're called to have is to impact this world. Remember the Great Commission? Go into the world. Make disciples of nations. Preaching the good gospel. Not just a few of us are called. We're all called to this. And that, I really think, is dangerous when we lose sight of it, that Jesus didn't come so you could feel good. He didn't say you should pray a prayer so that you can have peace, that when you die, you'll go to heaven. He came so that we could be transformed and changed and then change the world around us with the good news. And we do that by faithfully following him, by faithfully being dependable and reliable in loving others, in treating them with kindness, in being patient, in caring for those around us. Amen? The Great Commission, you guys, is not an add-on in our life. Not the $5 bonus in the package you bought. And so we need to remind ourselves that as believers so that we believe it and can go and reach other people. It's the purpose for everything that we do, and it needs to be. And as a church, it needs to be the mission that we have is to reach the world out there. And so we gather in here, and it's wonderful. The church is not this building. This building holds the church, you and I. And we are here to encourage each other and sharpen each other, to pray for one another so that we can walk together out of here and succeed this week in being faithful. That we can succeed in loving people and we can succeed in bringing the good news to other people and not just be so focused in here about my challenges and my problems that I forget that I'm supposed to be a light and shine everywhere I go. And that's what being faithful is. That when the Lord puts those moments in front of us where I can reach out and help somebody, where I can be there, where I can be a friend, where I can come alongside someone and all those types of things, that's his heart. And that's what being faithful is. Being faithful is all the little things that we can do to put into place to make a difference. Our ability to walk in the fruit of the Spirit is a direct result of our being able to participate in the divine nature of God. And I pray that we would look at, you know, we didn't have time to go into some of these examples again, but the parable of talents, the parable, there's different stories that Jesus tells, like Luke 19, verse 17, where he says, "Well done," the king exclaimed, "you are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted you. You will be the governor of 10 cities as a reward." There's a picture in Scripture that, again, when we're faithful, he entrusts us with more. We often don't realize the impact of having small changes, doing small things faithfully, and the impact over long term that it can have in us. I saw a thing recently where it said, you know, if you want to save $10,000 a year, put away $27.40 a day. Sounds a lot easier that way, doesn't it? You want to lose 25 pounds this year? Then what does that work out to? Half a pound a week. That's not so bad. Easy to say. You still got to do it. But it's actually doable when you look at it in small, faithful, following through in those things. It's actually doable. You want to grow, you guys? Start opening your Bible every day. Spend some time in the Bible every single day. Spend some time in prayer. Get into his presence. Being a Christian was never meant to be an hour and a half on Sunday morning. It's meant to be a relational journey with him. Why don't you bow your head, close your eyes. Lord, I just pray that you would help us be faithful people. God, I'm so thankful for the many ways that you've been so faithful to us, the many ways that you've given us promises and breakthrough, and Lord, how you never leave us. You never give up on us. You are always standing with us, and I pray that we'd never lose sight of that. And I pray, too, God, that we would understand the call for us to be faithful in being good stewards in reaching the world with the good news of the gospel. Part of being faithful to you is being willing to be a light, to being willing to be a witness to you. And God, in order to do that, we need to surrender everything. And in order to do that well, we need to get to know you. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd produce in us that desire, that we can persevere, that we can be reliable, dependable people. And I pray that even our faithfulness in how we treat others would be a sign to the world around us. God, that our friends, our neighbors, God, that we could be a witness and have impact in the world for your gospel, for your kingdom. And again, Lord, thank you that it's not about us trying to earn something or behave a certain way. We don't have to try and check off all the boxes that, hey, I didn't do this week, and I didn't watch that, and I didn't stumble like they did, and I didn't do this. It's not about that. It's about what knowing you and walking with you and saying yes to you today. Holiness is so much more about what it's about and what it's for, not what it's against. And so, Lord, I just pray that you transform our hearts. I pray, God, if there's areas that we're struggling with, to trust you, that you would help us to give you everything. God, that we wouldn't live in fear, that we wouldn't try and do things on our own, but we would fully surrender to you. And I ask, God, that those, if there's anyone here who's struggling with feeling condemnation or guilt or shame, God, that you would remind us that you are faithful to forgive, to cleanse us from all our sin, that, and you tell us there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so I pray that we wouldn't leave here with any guilt or any shame, but we would leave here full of gratitude, knowing that today is a new day, that I have a chance to honor you and live for you and walk with you and to spread the gospel wherever I go. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. One quick question before we go. If there is anyone here that does not know the Lord and you want to experience that relationship with him, I just want to extend that invitation to you, and I would love to pray with you.